Well, it's obviously in part a political decision, but it's based on the economic analysis of what we have here.
I want to follow up with Mayor Ballard. You mentioned that you won't really be paying the beverage tax, but you are in favor of an expansion of the sports development zone, which of course takes money away from the state, sort of puts more burden on the rest of the state to pay for state government. So why should Marion County be treated in that way, so favorably in that way, while people in other parts of the state are not receiving the same benefit?
Well, I would disagree with the premise, actually. The sales tax generated from the downtown Indianapolis filters throughout the entire state. It's kind of like, investing a dime and in some cases getting a dollar. So that's how I look at this. What we must be careful of is to not put Indianapolis convention business, $3.5 billion business, which everybody in the state benefits from, into a position where it is not competitive. That I do not want to set up a row of dominoes to have fall. That is what I'm mostly concerned about, because we have spent enormous capital, human capital, planning for 30 to 40 years to bring this convention business to the state of Indiana and to the city of Indianapolis. And having all of this, and there's a point, and conventions look at what the cost is to come to a particular city. We've been competitive. We want to remain competitive because that is an economic engine for the city and the state. That's why. And so any incremental tax affects all the associations, everybody that may want to hold a convention across the country. That is what worries us the most, frankly.
Let me reinforce the mayor's comment there. One of the reasons why the state is participating and why we're interested in this bill and trying to get this done is the state does have a significant investment in that we do get a lot of revenues, for example, off of the Circle Center Mall, and they clearly come from people who are at the convention center. And so part of our contribution here is based on protecting our return on investment that we're already getting.
We're worried about that.
I don't know how this works, but it says the admission tax goes from 6% to 10%, mm-hmm. and then below it says that includes activities at the convention center. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty huge increase on convention activities. How do you feel about that?
Again, anything that goes there, but there's a mix in there that we have to reach. Like I said, I think I applaud Senator Kinley for having what I consider to be a great starting point, and how this goes throughout the next month, we don't know, but. A lot of work has gone into this, and so
I think he's saying
it may have flaws, Matt.
Well, but Matt, I mean it's no secret that the convention business looks mainly at food and beverage and innkeeper's tax. So
when you say convention center event, what is a convention center event? I mean, this isn't a tax imposed on a convention. Would this be like maybe a concert?
It's a ticketed event.
Yeah, there are lots of convention activities where there's no ticket admission.
Right. What would the alcohol tax affect?
Well, I was thinking about July the 1st, but obviously that's subject to negotiation as well.
But what's going to be in the bill?
What's going to be in the proposal? Well, July the 1st.
So there any idea?
Are your colleagues, how do they feel about a doubling of what is in essence a statewide tax, although granted you can choose not to buy a beer?
Yeah, I think you made a great point. This is a voluntary exercise, whether you're going to pay the tax or not. Now, secondly, I prefer not to think of it in the terms that you use, but I prefer to think of a penny on a beer, a penny on 3 ounces of wine, and 2 cents a shot. Now, when your local bartender charges you another $3 for the shot you get in September, you remind him that it was not a $3 tax increase.
Senator, you said that you met with the Colts, you met with the Pacers, you met with the city,
right.
You met with the CIB. Most of these were conducted behind closed doors, but there's been some criticism of that.
Right.
I'd like to hear your response to that criticism. Did you meet with any tax are you going to ask the taxpayers to pay for this when they never got a single tax?
Here's my response. That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that question. My response is that we've carefully tried to prepare a bill that we think is workable and, as the mayor says, is a good starting point. One of the ways that we could have handled this would be to go into conference committee on the budget bill, and then all of a sudden in the last hours of the session, lo and behold, here would appear this solution to this problem that nobody had ever had a chance to publicly comment on. We're not doing that. We're going to have a hearing tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock for everybody in the public to come in and give us their opinion. And I doubt if this bill will be passed or approved in a shorter period than 3 or 4 weeks. And so that is, we have tried to do our homework before we set the public stage, and now the public can come in and have full comment. I'm sure we'll hear from all of the distributors and all those folks about how the tax is going to be bad for them.
Do you consider that a fair and equal shot to the idea of having somebody come in to prepare the solution before?
I think it's better than a fair and equal shot, because instead of coming in when you don't even have a solution on the table, you have what somebody who is willing to put their reputation on the line with as a proposal and say, here is a cohesive, coherent proposal, fully prepared. Let's take a look at it, and let's let everybody in the public make a comment about it.
Except that we're going to talk about an amendment down there, they're going to see, because
they may not be able to talk about it tomorrow, but I assure you that through the help and assistance of you folks, they'll be able to talk about it for the next 3 or 4 weeks. No, we just use the words economic development. Right.
What has been the reaction from the other senators about raising the tax?
Well, I've between Representative Crawford and myself, we've briefed the leadership of all four caucuses, and I have briefed all of my caucus members as a group, and we're getting some pretty thoughtful responses that run the range of very positive to some negative concerns to a recognition of just how difficult it is to put together a plan in these kind of economic times.
Do the lawmakers who have taken an over taxes pledge tell you that this violates the plan?
Nobody's told me that yet.
What's the CIB's annual budget roughly, and other than the Pacers issue, how did they come to amass such a substantial deficit? Was it poor management?
Well, part of the amount of the shortfall is due to the situation over at Conseco, which had been going on for a long time. So, I don't think you can hardly count that against as a question of mismanagement by the CIB. The rest of the amounts that are on here represent the change in the circumstances of going to a much larger convention center and the Lucas Oil Stadium. And so you might say, well, shouldn't you have tried to estimate what those things were? And if you'll recall back to when we did the stadium construction bill, at that time there was a discussion of doing the capital project, and then it was made perfectly clear that the ongoing operations of the thing would be the responsibilities of Marion County. And so at the very end of that session, there was some indication by the then head of the CIB that there was some cash shortfall, but it did not occur until the very end of the session. And so we discussed how that might be handled at that time, and we agreed that not knowing what that amount would be or how much it would cost to run this thing, that the thing to do was to go ahead and then try to come back and figure out what kind of corrections need to be made. And I made an assurance to Fred Glass, who was the head of the CIB at that time, that I would be more than willing to try to sit down and help figure out what kind of tools that Marion County might need to deal with this problem. And so that's probably as much as I can tell you. You probably need to speak with the CIB if you want a more detailed answer on that.
Dave, do you know that number?
Yes, it's the projected budget for 2009 is 7,100.
center, what's the, is that an extra $5 million for the convention center, or is that what, there's a $5 million for the convention center and another $3 million for marketing?
I don't see the $3 million.
Got here, footnotes.
Okay.
The details of the shortfall. Is any of this for the convention center expansion project, or?
No, these are operating costs.
That's all operating costs.
The capital project, Dave Frick is still heading that up, and I spoke with Dave 2 days ago, and at that time, he told me that they were on time and within budget.
Senator, is that, so the economic development stimulus disbursements to local governments across Indiana, do you think that will be enough to get other lawmakers, kind of like what Leslie was saying, who aren't anywhere near Indianapolis, on board? Do you think you folks may have to actually add a little bit more?
Well, I hope it will be a carrot to get them to do this, but I hope if they'll look carefully at this plan that they'll see that most of these revenues are being raised by Marion County through their commitments. And the money that would come, for example, from the convention hotel, I mean, it's clear that that convention hotel would never be built but for the convention site itself. And so the state is going to get some additional revenues off of the income tax from that, but I don't think they will consider that to be an unfair take there on the state level. So I hope that they'll see it that way and analyze the numbers carefully and feel like it's a good plan.
Mayor Ballard,